Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. This is the fourth and final week of my AEO series. So thanks for sticking around. We've saved you a duo for the last week. Yes, folks, it's a double lineup of guests. I'll let you postulate how I worked that out. But please welcome to the recording this week, Bane and Chiad. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you got two for the price of one this week.
Yeah, two for the price of one. I remember that being a joke when we were first on Threefold Talk, actually being like, you are Bane and Chiad. And we were not going to explain how that worked. So,
oh, no, there's no explanation.
No explanation needed at all.
So. No.
So you were originally going to be first, and then you've ended up being last because I had to reschedule. And does that make you more nervous or less nervous?
More. I definitely am the type of person that likes to just like get things over with quicker. And like, you know, like if I'm nervous, I just do it. Like do the, like eat the frog, do the bad thing first. And then, and not that your podcast is bad, but it's just, you know, the nervousness of like doing something. I want to just do it rather than wait, because then I just get more nervous.
Eat the frog is not something I've heard before. I paused on that for a second, by the way.
I think it's, I don't know, actually. I think it's a book about procrastination. That's, I think I've just heard it through the grapevine that that's what it refers to. Like if you're a procrastinator, you should do the worst thing first. Just eat the frog and get it done with. And then the other stuff is easier.
Wow. Eat the frog. If I made sound bites to advertise my podcast, I would definitely be using that as the podcast sound bite. Just eat the frog.
Yeah. My like really bad explanation of a book that I haven't read. I'm sorry to whoever wrote that book that I am.
No, I love it. Like, that's
just
great.
Just distilling it down to what I think it means.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm sorry that I've delayed you eating the frog.
It took longer to marinate, so you know I'm enjoying like an aged frog.
Enjoying an aged frog. Okay, yeah. This is just if this is any tone of the conversation for the recording, it's this is going to be hilarious. So, all right. Well, I always kick it off by asking people like a two-part question. So on this series, I kick it off with. So obviously, you are Bane and Chiad on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start by telling us why, and it doesn't matter whether it's the name first or the culture first, but why do you role play as Aiel on Twitter, and why or how or both did you pick Bane and Chiad? Like give us like kind of the, I suppose the origin story of that and why Aiel, like however you want to tell that.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard to answer both of those things simultaneously, but I always, when I read the books, I always loved the Aiel. I would say, though, I did favor the Wise Ones a little bit more when I read, because the first time through, I loved Egwene and I loved her arc with the Wise Ones and dreamwalking and all of that. But of course, as a young woman, I loved seeing an all-female warrior society, and I'm not a very athletic person. I'm not a fighter. I'm very non-confrontational. But the idea of being able to be that way really appealed to me. So I always loved the Maidens of the Spear, always loved the Aiel. But then years later, when I decided to join Twitter, specifically for the purpose of following the TV show, and this was in 2019, Originally, I think I was just my regular account that I had like not ever used before. It was like my usual screen name that I had used on other things. And then I started to kind of put feelers out, and I was following what was going on with Rafe and the show. And then I started to see more and more character accounts as I continued to explore. And I was like, well, that's cool. Like, I don't really want to be me and like have my name out on the internet. And I really want to interact with these people. So if I'm going to be like a public account, then I'm just going to, you know, disguise myself and do a character account. That sounds great. So I think I looked for Egwene and Fael first, and they were taken. And I definitely wanted to be unique. I wanted to be something no one else had. And there were like a few Mats and a few different Egwenes, a few Nynaeves, whatever. But I was like, no, I want something really original that nobody else has. And then so I started searching, you know, random characters. And then I was like, you know what? If I can't be, you know, my Wetlander characters that I love, then I'm going to be a Maiden of the Spear. Like, because again, that's not really who I am, but the idea of being able to play that role was appealing to me. So I looked for like Sulin, I think, and I don't know, I kind of floated a few ideas around. And then I was like, you know, wouldn't it be funny if I was Bane and Shiad together? Like, I don't know why, I was just like, if you're going to have a Bane, then you need a Shiad. There was neither. And I was like, well, I'm just going to cover the bases so that I don't have to wait for like a Bane or a Shiad to show up. I can just be both of them. And I thought, in addition to no one having that name, I thought that was kind of a unique approach and would be funny because essentially they are always together in the books. So if I was going to role play, I was going to role play as two people. And it's funny how many people actually thought I was two people, like, because I was really good at staying in character at first. And every tweet was like, we this, we that, you know, stuff like that. But then like I started meeting people at cons and doing, you know, content stuff. And they're like, oh, you're just one person. I was like, really? I don't know. I thought it was obvious that it wasn't, but I guess I did a good job role playing. So yeah, that's kind of how that came to be. In terms of, did I answer that question fully? I feel like there was a lot to that, but
there was a lot to it, but yeah, you nailed it, because okay. The basic idea is, you know, I've asked all of you on the podcast because you do role play as Aiel, but also why I like to know why you've picked the specific character or characters in your case that you have, or in Leia's case, just kind of a role within the Aiel, because obviously there's no mm-hmm. Roof Mistress Leia per se. Right. So yeah, you've definitely answered that. I was going to ask you about the two person like running the account situation, because yeah. I remember people being surprised by this meeting and being like, oh, I thought you were two people. And I think I might have thought that originally, but then I remember reaching out to be like, hey, in the early days of planning what became Threefold Talk, which was originally something very different. Well, not very different, but something, it was meant to be a one-off show. Mm-hmm. I remember reaching out and asking like you were a solitary person.
Yeah.
But prior to that, when I was doing it, I did think to myself, well, maybe no, it'll be one person. It might be two people. But if it's two people, that's fine. It's funny. But yeah, you know, you have the dual chibis from Memo. You know, you did a lot of that, like, we this, we that, mm-hmm. You know, doing the dual thing. It was very convincing.
Yeah. She, I don't think that was my original profile picture. I think I had found some art that I liked originally. But then I started following Memo, and she was doing – basically going through all the characters in the books. And so she had already created a bunch of Maidens of the Spear together in like one big, it was like a collage of different maidens, and there was Bane and Shiad. So I reached out to her pretty early on and was like, can I please use that for my account? And she was amazing. She actually like reformatted it a little bit and put her name on it and stuff and sent me like the high definition, you know, version of it so that I could use it. And that was really nice of her. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was cool. These days, you only have a single chibi. Or do you still have the dual chibi? You have the single one now, don't you? Yes.
Yes. So, it was cool when she finally, like, merged it into me. Like, that was so awesome to see. And, like, thank you for that. I think you surprised us all with those chibis on our show. And I loved that, like, I finally... You know, because to a certain extent, like role playing was how I started, and it made me feel more comfortable, you know, being meeting people that I didn't know. But then as I got to know people, I was like, I kind of want them to know who I am as a person. So she made it me, but then she still kept it Bane and Shi'ad somehow, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was very impressed when she sent that through to me, and I was excited for all four of you to see your chibis, but I was very excited for you to see that. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, we've taken the two characters and made them one. Mm-hmm. You did mention though that you have another character you'd looked at when you were setting up your Twitter account, mm-hmm. and that is Fail,
yes.
who is your favorite character.
Yeah, it's so hard to pick a favorite, but I think I like saying she's my favorite because so many people hate her. And I would love the opportunity to explain why I love her. And maybe, you know, I think
you have that opportunity. I'm going to ask why is she your favorite? You know, why should people love Fail? Give us your sales pitch.
I wasn't prepared to answer that. I thought I was talking about Aiel, so I didn't refresh my Fail love for today.
I spend a little bit of the time getting to know the person, so we ask you some questions that like are about you a little bit, and then we'll get to more Aiel stuff. I promise.
Well, if you want to hear my best explanation of it, you should listen to the Barside Chats episode about Stonewolf, about whether Perrin should have ended up with Gaul instead of Fail. And I talk a lot about her in that episode. And I think I swayed Matt and Brian a little bit to appreciate her more. And there's also a really great video that Rekappa Sadai did about Fail's arc. And essentially, that's what I love. I think I understand why she's a very hateable character, especially at first. But you have to remember she's like a teenager. I think she's one of the youngest people in the books. And I don't know anyone who wasn't kind of stupid and petty and jealous in their relationships when they were younger. You know, so I forgive her a little bit for that. I mean, some of the physical aspect of it, I know people take issue with, but you know, I do see it as there was a cultural miscommunication there between her and Perrin in some ways. And that was the way she had seen her parents communicate and show affection.
Miscommunication in the Wheel of Time? No, surely not.
Yeah. So obviously she starts off quite immature, quite selfish, you know, very annoying, but she has so much growth throughout the books. And I don't love the length of the Malden plotline, but I love her role in the Malden plotline because that's when she really comes into her role of being a leader and becomes a lot more selfless. And you can see her doing things like supporting Morghese with channeling and making sure they get out and all of that kind of stuff. And then that carrying her to the end where she does like the most selfless thing you could imagine for her based on where she starts off. And I love how it comes full circle in terms of she was a hunter for the horn. That's what she wanted. She wanted the fame and the glory. She has the horn during the last battle and she gives it up because that's what she needed to do. And I love that. So I could talk a million other details, but I just think as you see her grow and as you see what she does for Perrin in terms of helping to support him become a leader. She has such great knowledge about politics and how to get people to follow you and the things she does behind the scenes for him. Like when she talks to that, I forget who it was. It was some like guy who was in charge of the food or something and he was trying to swindle Perrin and she stopped him from doing that. And,
right. Yeah. It was like a quartermaster or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. Something like that. And so, yeah, just the way she teaches him to be more confident. And then their picnic scene, you know, where she's finally kind of showing him, okay, I will honor your culture. And it's just a beautiful thing. I like watching, none of the characters in the books are perfect, but I like watching her specifically grow from extremely immature and selfish to a leader, a respectable leader who would sacrifice when needed. And her love with Perrin is, I think, I've said before, I think it's one of the more believable relationships in the books. You know, I don't think that was Robert Jordan's strong suit, but I do think there is, you know, people are like, oh, they're so, it's so annoying how like jealous and like toxic they are or whatever, but I'm like, it's real though. You know, people, yeah. Hate, people get jealous, and a lot of it is just parents smelling that she's jealous. She's not even saying it. So I think it's kind of unfair in a way, but
yeah, parents, yeah. The bad guy in the relationship. If there has to be a bad person, like he's the bad one. He's spying, yeah. On his wife and right. Then reacting to
based
her
on that. Yeah.
Based on that. And she's not, yeah. Doing anything, you know, yeah. She can't help feeling jealous or angry or whatever in a moment, right, but she's not. Right. Yeah.
She has emotions. So. All people have emotions. And, mm-hmm. Sometimes people feel emotions that they decide are better not to share. And she probably did that, but then he was reacting to them anyway. So yeah, I just feel like there's, I mean, even in just explaining this, there's just so much to talk about. And that's what kind of engages me with
there the is. Character. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Jordan did not do romance very well at all. but there are a few lines in the book, so you're just like, my God, that is actually really romantic. But I have to say, I think the picnic scene between those two is probably the best romance moment in the
yes,
books.
I think so, you know? Too.
There are moments where there's like, you know, heavy dialogue and lots of meaning, but mm-hmm. There's something more authentic about that picnic scene, I think, mm-hmm. Than all the other big dramatic moments.
Yeah, so. It's really beautiful. I feel like I might have written about that in an article once. I'm not sure. But if I didn't, I should have.
This is true. And how funny you mentioned writing in an article. because, folks, if you're not familiar, Grace does do a little bit of writing here and there. You have the mains list. You write incredible tweet threads on Twitter, as well as just great tweets pretty much all the time. I don't think I've ever seen a bad tweet from you, you know, ever. On top of that, you now are part of the social media team for Dragon Mount. You
yes.
know?
Yes, I do a lot of things. I do too many things.
And you write some pretty goddamn impressive parodies. So
yes.
With a very accurate, not that I've ever heard drool prior to hearing your parodies, but apparently, you know, and from the small snippets I've heard here and there, very accurate imitations of drool as well. So, you know. Yeah, tell us about the writing and like why do you like to write? What is it about writing that draws you in?
Oh man. I have always loved writing ever since I was a kid because I loved reading, and that very quickly became, I want to write a book. And I remember like maybe 7-8 years old, maybe I started like trying to write songs based on pop songs that I liked. And then I feel like I tried to write like a couple chapters of a book at one point. And then as I continued in school, whenever there was like a creative writing assignment, I really loved that. And I got a lot of positive feedback on my writing from my teachers over the years. And my mom is a fantastic writer too. So that was something that we connected over. But I think I like writing because you have more time to think about what you're going to say. And I don't always, I'm not always so good with the verbal expression of things. So having that time to process and put pieces together in a beautiful and meaningful way that it doesn't just convey meaning, but there's a very intentional way that you're conveying it. I like that. And I like to be clever. And I think you can be very clever with words. You can be clever with words verbally too, if you're quick, but there's something about writing that I really enjoy. And then, you know, just kind of delving deep into a subject. You know, I have never really minded writing essays in school. I know like people hate essays, but I kind of liked having to put the pieces together to like convince somebody of something and create the right type of flow and like connect paragraphs so that it sounds good. Like I've always just kind of enjoyed that more like logistical aspect of it. So yeah, I think that's the question was why I like writing. I think I answered.
Yeah,
okay.
You did, yes. It's quite funny how you have to remind yourself. Did I actually answer the question or did I ramble? Because yeah. You're very insightful when you ramble, so don't feel bad about it at all.
Okay.
Do you have like a favorite type of writing? Do you like, do you like to write essays? Do you like snappy articles, tweets, you know, stories? Poems, I don't know, like what do you, is there anything, or is it like, no, I'm gonna grace it and pick 9 things? And if you're not familiar with the term gracing it, folks, you need to listen to the Light's work.
Yes. It's funny you mentioned the tweet threads, because at first I didn't realize that's what I was doing. Like, I just thought I was interacting and, you know, whatever. But then I, over time, realized I'm spending a lot of time on these things and I'm writing words. So this is actually like writing. And then when I started doing Maiden's List, I was like, oh, this is kind of just like a longer version of what I was already doing. But yeah, I wrote a lot of poetry in high school and college, and I here and there I'll have some inspiration and I'll write a poem. I don't do it as often as I used to, but I really do enjoy that format because I feel like it's very freeing and open, and you can use a lot of metaphor and create a lot of imagery with it. And there's just more freedom, I think, with it. So I do love poetry. But if I had to choose, I think what I was doing in Maiden's List is kind of the most me thing, you know, a little bit of funny, a little bit of sentimental, a little bit of opinion, kind of all mashed together in, how did you put it? A snappy article.
Yeah. It was. There's usually like a top 10 with a disclaimer put in there that they're not actually in any sort of order, because you couldn't actually pick, because everything's as great as everything else in this particular topic.
Yeah. Sometimes I would order them, sometimes not. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they would be ordered, but yeah, there was always like it never felt like I was being rushed reading them, but mm-hmm. they never felt like they dragged. It was like the pacing was really good with the writing. The way you inserted your opinion or comments. I do remember the line of, what was it? Trolloc booty shorts or something in one of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like buying Trolloc booty shorts. There was, I don't know. It's lines like that. They were always funny. But they just fit the topic so well. I mean, you know, you can joke about buying things or like splurging on merch or anything like that. But to then fit in buying Trolloc booty shorts, like I think it was like dropping $200 on Trolloc booty shorts, something like that, and it's a ridiculous line, but it works and it fits perfectly so mm-hmm. well, and it just makes you at least smile or smirk. It gives, you know, you probably, people probably giggled reading that, to be honest. I think I did, I gave a bit of a chuckle about it. So yeah, the articles, they're very snappy, very, very fun. And I know people loved watching them, watching for when they came out, so they could read them,
Yeah. I like to work like silly, absurd things in every once in a while, just when it feels right. So that was one of those things. I really did enjoy writing those. I can't believe that I, for a period of time, was putting them out every week. I don't know how I did that, because I would put a lot of time into those. Like I poured my heart and soul into those articles. Like I found all the pictures and I did the whole formatting and everything. And I would edit it 500 times before I put it out. I must have not been super busy at work or something. I don't know what was happening for me at that time, but I was really prolific back then. And I haven't written anything in a very long time, but I do want to at some point.
Probably clarify, you haven't written those in a very long time. I'm sure you've been writing some things here and there.
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah. So you do a lot of things. How has it been since you joined the Dragonmount social media team? Like that was very like under the radar suddenly. And then it was just like, oh, by the way, you know, and it was like, ta-da. You sort of like snuck in there and suddenly you're like, you know, Dragonmount social media. How has that been for you?
I mean, it's a huge honor, to be honest. It's, it's crazy. Like a website that I have known for years and followed and admired, you know, to be working for them is, just really cool. They had posted that they were looking for social media support, and I was trying to change careers, which I still haven't successfully done, but I think I'm maybe somehow in a messy, random way getting there. But part of that goal was to do more stuff like that, like social media things and writing and editing. And so that's been really cool because I applied for the job and it was quite an extensive interview process, actually. There were like three or four interviews. But the last one was funny because Kathy invited us and it was supposed to be like a group interview for like, how do you guys get along together as a team, or like, how do you work on a team? Like, we want to see how you work on a team or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, this feels like an audition. Like, so then we got on Zoom together and she was like, just kidding. I want to hire all of you. I love you all. And so it ended up being a team rather than just one person. And that's been a godsend because I don't think I could have taken on all of this by myself. And we all clearly have very different strengths. You know, like Kevin and Rita are great with the tweets and the Instagram posts and all of that. And then we've got some other folks who Michael's fantastic and he's been doing the newsletter. And, you know, everybody just brings something different to the table. So I've mostly been doing some editing, which I love doing. I love editing. Like, if any of you out there want me to like look at your work and tell you where your grammar is wrong and make your article like really nice and flowy, I will totally do that for you.
I don't think you have enough time of the day to try and correct my grammar, but I appreciate the offer nonetheless.
But yeah, I edited a few articles and I did write one article, which was exciting. It was one of those things where we got some news ahead of time and like I wrote the article. It's just kind of a neat thing to see behind the scenes. And then I got to edit the transcriptions of the interviews with the cast. So just getting those little behind the scenes previews has been fun. But I love that I get to use some of my skills in that way.
Love that. That's brilliant. Well, you can relax now. There's no more personal questions.
Oh, thank God.
So we're back. We're going to go back to the IEL stuff. Okay. So the other stuff that you're not prepared for either, but we'll have fun.
I mean, so. I knew what I was getting into by not preparing for this and not listening to the other episodes. And I know that it will be better that way, but it's still like, you know, you still can't escape the nerves of not knowing what's coming.
It's okay. I promise you're safe. There are no evil surprises on this journey. But we'll talk about the TV show stuff.
Okay.
So obviously season one, very light on Aiel. Mm-hmm. We got Gaul dead in a cage.
Not Gaul.
I knew you would say that. That's why. We got a dead stone dog in a cage. Mm-hmm. And then we got one other scene that does not appear in the books. But we were all very excited to see. As someone who role plays as Aiel, both on Twitter and on Threefold Talk, mm-hmm. how did it feel to see Blood Snow in season one?
Oh God, I cried. I cried through the whole thing. And I was sitting next to my partner at the time who has not read The Wheel of Time and didn't really care for the show that much, but knew how obsessed I was and was watching with me. And he had no idea what was going on. I mean, this was just like out of the blue, this fight scene. And he keeps looking over at me and I'm like, oh my God, he does not understand why I'm crying at all right now. And I'm just like sobbing. And I'm like, I hope I'm not giving anything away by sobbing, but like, I don't care. It was just so good. I mean, on so many levels, like the cinematography, the directing, the stunt work, the acting, like it was just more than I ever could have imagined we would get. It was so different from everything else we'd seen up until that point. And to see an Aiel Maiden of the Spear spotlighted in that way was like just incredible. And I also honestly think a big part of it is just Magdalena's performance too. Like her acting is so spectacular. And yeah, I don't know, the whole thing about seeing a woman do really powerful things is it always kind of gets to me. Like I cried during the Ghostbusters that was all women Ghostbusters. I mean, like I just have like a soft spot for that.
Was there a particular scene or just in general, you just blubbering for an hour and a half?
No, not the whole time. although I wouldn't put that past me because I am just an easy crier. But no, it was actually towards the end when they were fighting and I was like, oh my God, this is an all-female fight scene. Like, I could probably count on one hand how many times I've seen that in a movie. Like, true. How many action scenes have I watched? It's like all dudes. So that, you know, just whenever I see that, it feels really empowering to me and really gratifying. And I also feel like a sadness of like, it's sad that this hasn't been a thing, you know, before. So, yeah.
I agree. So season two, not to take away from the tears of Ghostbusters, but season two was a smidge different to season one. We got a reasonable amount more Aiel in season two.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. And we also saw Bane and Shead in season two.
We did.
And I remember the day at Jordan Con when they got announced and everyone's just like, oh my God, Bane and Shead. And they came and congratulated you. I mean, I interviewed you about how it was to finally be revealed because I thought it would be funny. And it was funny, although it felt weird because we were just in the random corridors at Jordan Con, weren't we?
I feel like so many people must have clicked on that video being like, oh my God, first interview with Bane and Shead. And then be like, what is this? Who is this person?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did type it that way
for clickbait. Yeah.
One day we'll actually get to a few Bane and Shead on Threefold Talk or something, and then it won't be clickbaity. But it was a fun experience. Yeah. What was it like? How were the Aiel seeing Bane and Shead, Navienda, and you know the fighting in season two? Like, how was that for you compared to season one?
You know, it wasn't as emotional. I feel like the Blood Snow. Maybe because it was first, or maybe just because of the quality and intensity of that scene, that really hit me hard. I mean, I loved seeing Avienda fighting. That scene was really badass, and the music, what is it called, Desert Warriors track, is like yes. So good. And Avienda's song is really great. You know, so that was a fun scene, but it didn't like move me the way the Blood Snow did. And then seeing Bane and Shead was just fun. Like I just smiled the whole time, I think, just seeing them finally. And I was actually just talking to Tigraine last week on the podcast, and we were looking at her tweets that were her reaction to the Blood Snow. And I was thinking like, oh, I didn't like live tweet my reaction to seeing Bane and Shead on the screen. And I really wish I had, because I feel like I should have had a more like, I don't know, a bigger response. But I think we knew they were coming because of the previews or because they just hadn't shown up yet. And we were like, okay, they're going to be in this episode. So it wasn't like a huge surprise. And I didn't think to live tweet. So I don't remember what my exact reaction was other than just like really happy.
But you were around friends when it happened, because didn't the episode where Bane and Shead got revealed also coincide with your name day?
I think I was trying to remember. Was it that episode 7 was when we first saw them? We didn't see them before then? Okay, yeah. I thought we'd that was Navienda. The case.
Yeah, we'd seen Navienda, but yes. We hadn't seen Bane and Shead.
Okay, yeah. That I mean, that made it even more special, you know, that it was my birthday and I had friends that were visiting me. And we were watching together and we were doing a live, we were on Dusty Wheel, like live watching. So that was really cool too. It was still though, I feel like the announcement at JordanCon was more powerful than that though. Like, I don't know. I mean, it was great to have all my friends around. It was great to see them on screen, and like Raga and Maya are like so gorgeous and amazing and badass. But at JordanCon, I don't know why, I just felt like so much love. Like people were just like, it almost felt like people were like piling on top of me, hugging me or like congratulating me. And it just like felt so good. So I don't know. It's a weird thing.
It was.
When you role play a character and you finally see them.
Yeah, I remember you being like, why are people congratulating me? I didn't get cast in Wheel of Time.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's, you know, we spend all this. I had spent at that point, what, like 3 years role playing these characters. And so I think, and Dane and Tigraine both, I think, kind of expressed something similar in that, like, you get into these characters' minds for so long and you sort of become them in a way, in like a, you know, fandom way. And then so to finally like see them on screen, it is really special and fun. It's just like, oh, okay, my character has now come to life. So I'm looking forward to seeing other people have that happen for them over the course of the show.
I'm now trying to think of some character accounts on Twitter. It would be entertaining to see when their character gets cast and put on screen. And now I'm thinking, who is the nobleman from Tyr? That's Wyrmon.
Wyrmon. Oh my gosh, yes.
That would be hilarious, wouldn't it, when they get cast?
Yeah, some of the best old school Twitter of Time role playing comes from that account. I love that account.
Yeah, it's a great account. So if you're whoever you are who runs it, well, kudos to you. It's so much fun. But yeah, that'll be fun when they get cast and we get to have all the excitement and stuff about them. So we did get to see in season two a bit of explanation. We got a little bit of like Aiel humor, and then we got a rather dramatic display showing us Jito. Like, what did you think about that?
Oh, I had mixed feelings on that. I don't know. I think it worked for the show. I think there are things that I just have to accept are going to be maybe made a lot more dramatic or changed from the books or condensed from the books so that viewers can understand more quickly. So I get why they did it that way. You know, and it's not inaccurate. There are other times where people will ask, you know, like I think of Egwene, like you ask to be beaten to meet your toe. It's not like it's wrong. I don't know. There is just something about it that I was like a little, I don't know.
I'll give you full disclosure. I remember messaging Mel about this when it came on screen. And I was just like, and I'd seen it earlier in the week because I was lucky enough to get screeners. So I knew you were getting Bane and Shead on screen for your birthday. And I was like super excited about it, but I also didn't want to tell you to ruin the surprise. So I'd known about the scene where they beat up Avienda so she can meet her toe. And I was just like, I didn't message Mel in advance. I didn't until the episode came out again, not to spoil. But I remember messaging Mel about it and saying it felt over the top to me. Like it was just, let's show how let's show them instantly as super
violent
aggressive, super violent, you know, like straight in. And it does get the point across. It does put them as a very different culture. But I think, And I get you have a very limited time on screen to show it. I feel like there was something more or something better they could have done. So I'm not hating the scene, but I still have probably more disappointment than like for the scene, I suppose, if I had to put it on a scale or something. So it's a tough one.
Yeah. I think I'm just happy that Bane and Shea got as much screen time as they did. I wasn't even sure that they would be in the show at all. And so the fact that they were, and I think the fact that they had that like kind of violent introduction, as opposed to in the books, the introduction is more about their relationship. I think I missed that. I wanted to know more about like, who are they? And can you explain first sisters? Like I missed all of that kind of stuff. Right. And they hinted at it a little bit, but not really. So maybe we'll get, I know season three is supposed to be pretty Aiel heavy. So maybe we'll get more of that in season three. And, you know, season two did focus more on Avienda. So they were more there as a vehicle to kind of highlight that piece and then to fight. We'll see where things go, but I'm just really, really happy. I love them as actors too, and like following them on social media, and they're like friends outside of the show, and they're just
they're
so
like
cute besties. Together.
Yeah,
so cute.
Their posts are crazy. They've been on trips together with I forget the name. Naomi is the
Naomi
coach.
Joy Todd. Yeah. They all hang out.
Yeah, they're like besties. It's so cute to watch all of them partying and, you know, whatever they're getting up to. It is so funny. We did get a little bit of Avienda asking Perrin about being married with the ring. This means you belong to a Wetlander woman. And then we got the line of, Bane will be disappointed, Chied will not care.
Yes.
Like, so we did get a little bit of like the interaction of like leading, I suppose that's kind of like a step for me anyway. It was like a step leading into like the Gaul situation where like one of them's interested, the other one doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you pick up on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm very intrigued by it because it could mean a lot of things. Like there's many interpretations of that. So I'm curious to see where that leads. And I hope it is foreshadowing for the Gaul situation because that would be, you know. People are hotly debating whether we'll see Gaul or not.
We got to be getting Gaul, right? I'm assuming you're on the Gaul Gaul train.
Of course, yeah, absolutely, okay. Yeah.
I mean, there was also we were both on the Uno Survive Season 2 train.
Well, I mean, technically he did sort
depends
of.
Depends how you look at that, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, definitely on the Gaul train. As you mentioned, season 3 is supposed to be pretty IO heavy because it does focus on book 4, The Shadow Rising, which is obviously there's a fair amount of time spent in the waste there, the Threefold Land. Sorry, mm-hmm. Wrong name there. My apologies. I did get corrected by Mel or Leia. One of them corrected me on that.
Both of them are way better at staying in character than I am, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I think I got tired somewhere along the way and I'm like half Aiel, like half myself now. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's my dual nature.
Yeah, it's because you do one show as Bane and Shea, and then you do a podcast as Grace. So, you know, you've got your dual personalities, just like Bane and Shea. Now you've got like, you know, Aiel and human.
I don't have identity issues. What?
But yeah, so Aiel 3. Season 3 is going to be Aiel heavy. Mm-hmm. Now, not necessarily in season 3, but thinking about the books and like scenes that we see in the books, probably mostly off scene, but they can be on scene once if you want to pick. We got Bloodsnow in season 1, which is an off scene, off screen, keep saying it wrong, off screen scene. Mm-hmm. Is there something you want to see in season 3 potentially, but later seasons, you know, could be applicable? They're like, this is something we absolutely have to see. Now, I'm generally thinking Aiel focused here, but if there's something else you're absolutely desperate to see, you could mention that too. And you can't go with the gimme of we absolutely have to see the glass columns. So
that's what I was going to say. But I will add to that by saying I want to see what happens to Avienda in the glass columns. Like, we don't see that. We only see Rand and Matt's journey in Ruidian. And so I think we should see that in season 3. Sure.
Okay, so her first visit to the columns.
Her first. Okay. I mean, I love her second visit too. I don't know if we'll get there, but definitely, you know,
positive. We will get there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you want to see Rand's journey through and Avienda's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not like, when I say I'm a writer, I say. I mean that I like using words. I am definitely not good at like figuring out how to like make a plot work really well or like what would be good on TV. But that scene is so huge. I mean, most people say Shadow Rising is their favorite book because of the glass columns. So there must be so much pressure on them to do it right. So I don't know if they cut back and forth between Rand and Avienda, would that take away from the power of the scenes with Rand and learning about the Aiel history and the Tinkers and all of that. I don't know. I feel like there is potential for them to maybe even give it more depth and power, depending on what they show for Avienda. I think it could be interesting. And I know they've played a lot on like the two sides, the male and the female and that kind of stuff throughout the series. So I think it would be cool to kind of cut back and forth between the two. But I don't know. Maybe it would be messy to do that. I'm not sure.
I mean, there is precedence in the book for it because when Rand is going through, Culloden is going through.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
So you could cut back and forth from Rand and Avienda. Right. And seeing her maybe being horrified by it and then accepting it. Yeah. And she could physically show without setting herself crazy and not coming back. Mm-hmm. Like Culloden does. Well, he does come back.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's a good point. Avienda could take his place, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, correction. It's not Culloden. It's
Culloden's brother.
It's like Muradin. I think it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's Muradin not being able to handle it. But, you know, you could see that from Avienda seeing it, being horrified by it, accepting it, mm-hmm. and coming out anyway. And then that shows her strength. You still get the male and female counterpoint yeah, yeah. and stuff. Yeah. So it could work like that maybe.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's a good idea. Okay. Yeah. I hope that now I'm going to be sad if they don't do it that way.
Well, I mean, we're a little late to correct them on season three. I feel like they're getting towards the end of their filming, but you know, they are, they have been in South Africa doing filming, which is where we believe they're filming The Waste. So mm-hmm. maybe they're doing some glass column stuff. Who knows?
We'll see.
Fingers crossed. Okay. Last couple of questions, are your stuff. Hopefully they're not too strenuous. Mel thought they were pretty heavy questions. DeGrane was like, nah, these are pretty cool questions. So I suppose it depends how you want to take them.
We'll see.
I am the token wetlander. Mm-hmm. That's my gimmick. That's my shtick. That's what I do on Threefold Talk each week. I have so much toe, not just because I'm a wetlander, but because I just, you know, get it wrong all the time, all of those mm-hmm. things. Constantly trying to meet that toe. Mm-hmm. No one's perfect. We all get toe occasionally, even okay. very incredible IELs such as yourself, Mel, and Leia, and Tigraine.
Okay.
When that happens, on the rare occasion that it happens, what is your method for meeting your toe?
Oh, wow. Am I supposed to answer this like in character or like?
Do you know everyone has asked me that?
Like, what do you mean? Like,
you can answer in character and then as a person as well.
Oh, God.
And you can take your time. There's no rush.
You know, it's funny. It's like this is another way that I feel like I'm so opposite from IEL in my real life. Like I work as a therapist. And so my whole thing is like self-compassion and like never punishing yourself, basically. Like, like so like, you know, IRL me would be like, no, there's no punishing yourself. You just don't do that. I mean, I think if you've done something wrong to hurt someone, you should try to rectify that and make up to them. If there's something you're doing to hurt yourself or that's not good for you, it often takes a lot of hard work to improve upon that and fix that or change that. So it's not a punishment per se. It's more just like hard work and discipline that you sometimes need to have when things are not going well or when you've done something wrong. As far as in character, I feel like Bane and Shiad would say being apart would be like the worst thing you could do to them. So if they felt like they had really incurred a lot of toe, they would probably, you know, isolate themselves from each other and, you know, be really sad about it.
Like it would just be it's almost like Marco with no polo, you know.
Yeah
it would be like Bane, no Chied.
Yeah that would be sad for them. Or I don't know, maybe they would just want to get beat up too. But that just seems like a too easy of an answer, like, oh, beat me up, you know, whatever. No, I think emotional pain is worse sometimes, so
yeah. I do agree, now that you've said it out loud, it does seem like just like, all right, just to you know, to cover all bases, beat me up. It's kind of like an easy get out of jail free card for meeting toe, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And do you really learn from it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Not if you're like, oh, do you know what? I did that. Yeah, I fucked up. Like, you know, beat me with a switch. Yeah. 50 times.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very like behavioral, like cut and dry, like, okay, you do a bad thing, you get a bad consequence, so you're not going to want to do it again because you don't want the bad consequence. But studies have shown that actually that doesn't work as well as getting something good for doing something good. So people are more motivated by like if you do the thing that is desirable and not bad, then you get a really good reward for that. That's more motivating than like the slap on the wrist, like you did the thing we didn't want you to do.
Yeah. The carrot works better than the stick. What a surprise.
So they say, yeah.
Fair. Okay. Nice. I've had a wide range of answers to that question. And everyone's been a little different, which does not surprise me because it is Toe. We're all different. It's Toe. It's like meaning it is. It's a personal journey. It's whatever it means to each person. So I like the range of answers I've got. Have been very interesting. It's been a lot of fun. This last one has been quite similar all across the board. Not exactly the same every time, but there was, particularly between Mel and Leia, there were a lot of similarities between the two of their answers. So last IEL question. They have a lot of different things they value in life, things that they, you know, make them IEL and say, you know, this is what you must do. This is how we behave. These are our standards, you know, GITO sort of thing. Which IEL value, if any, do you try and impart into your everyday life?
Whoa. Okay. The thing that just keeps coming to my mind is being a fierce protector of those that you love. Like, and I don't even know if the book really highlights that, but when I think of the Maidens of the Spear, I think of them as women who support each other and protect each other and are united. Like, isn't it the only warrior society that's like really united across the clans? Like, in terms of like, they would not feud against one another if they're both Maidens of the Spear, even if their clans were feuding, basically.
I think that's a general societal situation, yeah. But it feels like Maidens take it far more seriously than others. Like, I feel like if a Stone Dog accidentally, you know, turned around and just sort of whipped his spear out and killed a fellow Stone Dog, he'd be like, well, damn, I got some Toe, but I don't think he'd lose sleep over it. Whereas I think if a Maiden turned around and accidentally, like, you know, smacked her sister, I think she would, you know, ask to be beat up for a week. There's definitely a level of seriousness that they have that's higher than the others, or at least that's the feeling I get from them.
Yeah. The bond seems deeper among them, you know, in the sense, you know, and then there's the whole element of being wedded to the spear, and like that is the thing they have committed to themselves. They have committed themselves to more than anything else in their life. But it's not just to the spear, but it is to each other, right? So I think just the idea of, as I said, I'm not really a fighter, but I do believe in like taking care of the people you care about and protecting them and standing up for them if you need to. So feel like that's the one that I would most often use in my daily life.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Is that the same or different than what other people said?
There are similarities there. Yeah, I can definitely see the similarities. It's as I've done these, I've noticed the Toe has been so different, and then the IEL value. There's definitely a theme that plays along. I think Mel and Leia's was probably the most directly comparable, comparable between the two. There were certain moments where I was like, are they giving the same answer here, basically? but there is, you know, the answer that Tigran gave and you've given, there's definitely a theme of sort of protection that you've all kind of given, which is interesting. Now you hear it. If you had to ask people who, you know, just read the books, I don't know if they'd say this or not, but, you know, this is why I asked IEL people on, because, like, you know, you guys think about this. It's been beautiful answers. That's the questions done. Was it as scary as you thought it was going to be?
No. It was lovely. Thank you.
Good. you haven't listened to the other episodes that the others recorded, so I'll...
I have not.
No, I'll let you listen to some of the answers they gave. Mel was, I mean, everyone was funny in different ways and brought different things. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts about them. Thank you for hanging out with me for this week. Sorry I made you wait so long. I hope you enjoyed your aged toad.
It was delicious. Thank you.
Good. folks, if you do not hang around Twitter and follow Bane and Shehead on Twitter, you're missing out because they do wonderful tweets. And, you know, just the writings. I hope at some point you get back to writing articles or something of that nature.
That's
even if it's
the plan. It's the plan in my mind. It's what I want. We'll see if I can make it happen.
the Maiden's List channel in my server has been inactive for
very
quite some
quiet.
Time. Yeah, very quiet. And you know, the articles are always so good. But yeah, folks, do follow, do check it out. We haven't talked a lot about tonight. I mentioned it once, but Grace does do a podcast with her best friend Annis, The Lights Work. It's a wonderful podcast, so if you don't listen to that again, you're missing out. Please go check it out. And anything exciting you've got coming up that you want to share with us? I mean, I know you always have secrets, you know, that's your thing. You make people cry and you have secrets, but is there anything you want to tease?
We've got a couple really good interviews coming up on The Lights Work with some very important celebrities in the Twitter of Time fandom community, I would say. So one will be released before this episode comes out, I think, and then the other will be released around the same time. So a couple good interviews. Hopefully a Maiden's List sometime within at my new job. I've been working with people to, like, it's so lame, but like you have to make a goal within like quarter one of the year. So like I would like to have a Maiden's List done within quarter one. I will just say that.
Oh, and when does quarter one end, out of curiosity? Is that the first 3 months?
I don't know. End of March, I guess.
End of March. Okay.
Yeah.
just so, like, you know, like, rather than just message you one day and be like, hey, how are you doing today? I'm going to be like, so where's the Maiden's List at, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually be like, fuck off, Rob. Just go back to saying, hi, how are you?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Maidens, though, that is one project that I have going on for a very special event that's happening over the summer. So that's probably the biggest thing that's coming up.
Oh, now that's quite a tease.
Yes.
Is that all you're going to say about it?
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Wow. Do we have any idea when we might get more information?
June.
I say this because I don't actually, June is going to wait until June.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You have to. What everybody knows, the big thing that's happening in June in the fandom. No?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I feel like I've really missed out here. Something now. What about you have to tell me afterwards.
You when had them on your podcast.
I had them on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Two people. Not
two
me.
Two people.
No. People.
Two people on my podcast.
What kind of very special event might two people have together in the summertime that involves maidens?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I know what that is. that was the pattern at work. Okay. Because I had them booked for like, I don't know. I think I booked them like 7 weeks out, and it just so happened that Dan did what he did like the day before.
Yeah, that's pretty good timing.
Yeah. It was very good timing. It was lovely to just do that recording. So, okay, nice. Okay. Oh, you're gonna have to loop me in on the surprises for that one then. So, I will happily help out as much as I can there.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, it's been wonderful hanging out with you, Grace. Thank you. I was trying to think the last time you were on the podcast, and I think it was pretty soon after you launched The Lights Work. So with Annis, coming up on a year and a half?
I think, weren't we like your first guests for this podcast?
This version of the podcast, yeah, because I had a previous like theories version, folks, if you're not familiar with that one. Yeah, so yeah. It's been quite a while because I've been sporadic with this as well, so
it happens.
It happens. All right, I will let you go, folks. Please, like I said, go check out all of Ben and Chia's stuff and The Lights Work, and you know, just bug her for writings because she's really good. So, and until next time, folks, when I hope to be bringing you a slightly different series, not IEL-based, but maybe slightly magical, shall we say. And I'll just leave you wondering about that. But until then, folks, please go out there and find yourself some love, water, and shade. Thank you so much to everyone who has stuck around and listened to Malkia's wrap-up and my original theories podcast as well. Unfortunately, this is the end of this podcast. I have absolutely adored talking to you about theories and getting to know folks in the fandom, but I think it's time to make a podcast that's more collaborative. So I've got together with my good friends Jen Sadai and Meg Boz, and we will soon be bringing you Freewheeling. Freewheeling is a podcast that's show-based, and it just, I think the three of us are going to bring you something that's a little bit different and hopefully a whole lot of fun. I hope to bring it to you as soon as possible, but we are still working things out. But I hope you take this time to enjoy the break. Keep an eye on my socials, because we will be posting out when we start to release. And of course, if you join the Patreon, you'll find out there too. But until next time, folks, thank you so much, and I can't wait to see you all again.